Welcome to Product Mastery Now, where we simplify the seven knowledge areas for product mastery. These are the product management practices that elevate your influence and create products your customers love. To see all seven areas and assess your strengths in product mastery, simply go to my website, productmasterynow.com. I'm Chad McAllister, a product management professor, practitioner, and your host. Today, we're addressing a question I often hear from my students, which is some form of, I have a great idea, but I can't get support for it in my organization. At some point, every product person encounters this challenge. By the end of this episode, you'll know how to get leaders to listen to your ideas and even promote them. And if you're already accomplished at getting others to take action on your ideas, you'll be more empowered to mentor others in promoting their ideas. This episode is part three in a series of seven knowledge areas for product mastery. These knowledge areas encompass how I think about product and innovation management. I learned them initially from PDMA and have been sharing them since 2007 and teaching them to other product managers. This episode will give you an idea of how I teach them, but to see more of my training, go to productmasterynow.com/RPM. The RPM stands for Rapid Product Mastery, which is my system for learning and applying all seven knowledge areas for product mastery. Again, that website is productmasterynow.com/RPM. Also, my co-authors wrote about the seven knowledge areas in our new book that Wiley published in conjunction with PDMA. It's called Product Development and Management Body of Knowledge, a guidebook for product innovation, training, and certification. You'll find that on my website as well. Okay, let's get to addressing how to get support for your new idea in your organization. That is covered well in the strategy knowledge area. Last episode, I introduced the innovation management knowledge area and discussed research-backed factors for product innovation, as well as the key actions for a product manager to be successful. In the strategy knowledge area, we'll learn how organization strategy drives product strategy. And by the way, I am sharing graphics of what I'm talking about. This series is more of a masterclass format. So if you're listening to this podcast, I'll describe the concepts for you so you can understand them, but it could be helpful to see the graphics as well. The video version of this podcast is on my YouTube channel, which has the same name as the podcast, Product Mastery Now. Okay, so what is strategy? Well, strategy can be simply thought of as a plan to bring about a desired future. And I often have this image in my mind when I'm thinking about strategy, which is a picture of two kids playing chess. And chess is a great game of strategy, but any game we play is an activity of developing a strategy, deciding how you're going to play that game. And that's really what we're doing. It's a plan for how we're going to play. In the business world, we're playing to succeed against our competitors and create value for our customers. A more formal definition from business strategy guru Michael Porter is, strategy defines and communicates an organization's unique position and says how organizational resources, skills, and competencies should be combined to achieve competitive advantage. Next is the marketing expert Phil Cotter, who shared that strategy is a company's game plan, that's that plan again, for achieving its long-term objectives in light of its industry position, opportunities, and resources. Back to my picture on chess, which is it's a game plan, a plan for how to win in the marketplace and against your competitors. Strategies in an organization appear in a hierarchy. An organization should be directed by an overarching strategy that provides goals, priorities, and focus for the whole organization. Where the organization is large and multifaceted, the organizational strategy may be referred to as a corporate strategy, and smaller organizations may simply be referred to as the business strategy. Most organizations rely on innovation for growth, and an innovation strategy founded on the organizational strategy provides the direction and framework for innovation across the organization. Most organizations also have a range of functions, each of which forms its own strategy and contributing to the overall organizational strategy or business strategy, supporting that innovation strategy. The point here is that we want alignment between the strategies of the organization driven from that overall business strategy. And this is a good view to help explain the hierarchy of strategies. And on this graphic, on the left side is the mission statement that fundamentally drives the business or corporate strategy. And then that drives the innovation strategy, leading to development of the functional strategies. I'll go through each one of these in a little bit more detail. First, the mission statement. This is the organization's most important reason for its existence. You can think of it as its purpose. It focuses energy and resources. For example, to be the leaders in portable audio devices. And then the corporate business strategy, that's the plan of action to satisfy the mission. For example, let's expand our markets 10% or create a new specific market or increase revenues 25% this year. The overall business strategy and objectives. Then the innovation strategy provides goals, priorities, and direction for innovation across the organization. For example, an emphasis on technology or the level of external collaboration, maybe using open innovation. And then finally, our functional strategies. These are the strategies used by the functional departments to support business strategy. For example, you know, what is the IT strategy? What's our HR strategy? What's our sales strategy? Alignment between all of them is very important. And it's helpful to keep track of this flow. Strategy begins with the mission statement, then the creation of overall strategy, or we might just simply call the business strategy, and then the innovation strategies driven from that. And finally, how do the functions support that strategy? So the functional strategies of the organization. Here's a good time for an application question for you. And at this point, the question is simply, what is the overall strategy of your organization? And accompany that should be specific strategic objectives. And I often find product managers don't have a clear understanding of the strategy or the specific strategic objectives of the organization. We need to understand that to be able to drive the work that we do. So what is involved in creating a business strategy? That's a key thing that we need to get an understanding around. When it comes to business strategy, you've probably heard the phrase, different is better than better. Okay, a little bit of a tongue twister up for me. Different is better than being better. And that's, in essence, an effective strategy. According to Porter and others, that a competitive advantage is made by being different. Well, of course, we want to create products that are better than our competitors, so better is important, but better in the sense that they are different. They stand out. They're creating greater value for customers. They're not perceived as me too sort of products. Here's how PD May phrases business strategy. It is about choosing a set of activities to deliver a unique mix of value, that being different. And then they add that value is centered on the product the business offers to specific markets. Because business strategy lays the foundation for product innovation, I frequently share that we need alignment between our product work and the organization strategy itself. And the key steps of business strategy leading to product innovation are shown in a diagram if you're watching the video version of this. I'll walk through each, and if you're just listening, I'll try to make sense of this as well. First, we begin with by defining the business goals, including specific product categories and markets to focus on and, you know, respective growth targets. What are our business goals? And then define the role that product innovation, developing those new products, making our products better, will play in achieving those goals. A business could choose between a mix of acquisitions and product development work, for example. For product development itself, the business has a number of options available, including in-house development, working with external partners, or perhaps licensing. And these activities involve looking at the industry, company, and environment analysis, the areas of opportunity that we're after, the areas of strategic focus that we've selected, and how will innovation itself contribute to achieving those goals. Those are all elements of something that is called a product innovation charter, and I'll try to talk about that in a future episode when we talk about processes that we follow. And next, we define the key focus to base the product innovation strategy on. We can call that the attack plan. And the attack plan reflects the degree of risk that a business is willing to take. For example, maybe you want to be a market leader or maybe a market follower. Are you looking at technology being led by that or being market led? Or maybe choosing a strategy that's more low cost versus a differentiated segment. Different kinds of attack plans to consider. Then a decision for a portfolio of projects are made. And project selection is aided by asking questions that evaluate projects against strategic objectives. So again, we're wanting to align to those strategic objectives. And that's the topic of portfolio management, which I will cover in a future episode here very shortly. And project selection is aided by asking questions that evaluate projects against the strategic objectives. Again, aligning our project selection with the strategic objectives of the organization. So now you can see how business strategy influences product innovation. Next, let's look at what you need to know before developing a business strategy. So here's a diagram for the video version, at least, that's helpful to look at. Like, what we want is a comprehensive understanding of the business context before developing that strategy. And this includes the organization itself, the industry that it exists in, and the wider business environment. All those have factors that are important for us. And recognizing that the strategy for product development occurs in an environment that has relationships to the overall company, well, this is why we must be concerned with business strategy, to recognize how these factors impact the business, the industry environment that the organization participates in, and the overall business environment that it operates in. Those all come together. So product development crosses many organizational functions and can benefit from understanding the impacts of changes and trends in the industry and the overall environment. Now, there's a lot to this, and we'll look at some of the tools now, but you may want to pause the video briefly here to reflect on each element if you're looking at the graphic here. I'll highlight some of the important things. But one of the first tools that's frequently used for strategic planning is SWOT, S-W-O-T. And this I regard as a classic tool. It's not a new tool, but organizations, including the Fortune 500, continue to use this because of its power. And I also recommend using it during product development to assess if any significant changes in the business or market environment has occurred that would impact the product. In this context, I consider this more of an environmental scanning tool. This helps to get you thinking beyond the specifics of the product and thinking in a bigger context, as opposed to just inside the box of your innovation project. And this popular tool includes those four areas of SWOT. First, we have strengths, characteristics of the business or project that give it an advantage over others. And then the W is weaknesses. Those are characteristics that place the business or project at a disadvantage relative to others. And then the O is opportunities. These are elements that the business or project could exploit to its advantage. These come from external factors, right? Things taking place outside the direct control of the organization. That's also true for T, for threats. Those are external factors. And these are elements in the environment that could cause trouble for the business or for the innovation project. And I like to drop in an extra T. This is not part of the standard SWOT methodology, but it's important, and it stands for trends. And while trends are external elements that should already be considered when we look at opportunities and threats, too often it just doesn't get the attention it deserves. So I wanted to stand out because trends can have a large influence on an organization's success as we make products. So add the extra T. You're welcome to adopt that to your SWOT if you'd like as well. And then another tool that's helpful is PESTLE, P-E-S-T-L-E. And it provides inputs to our strategy development as well. And I consider this an environmental scanning tool to understand what is taking place in the larger business environment. It's useful for understanding the trends and factors that will directly influence the future of the organization and its products. And again, PESTLE is an acronym. It's for six external factors that can influence an organization. And those are political, economic, social, technological, legal, and environment. And we'll leave the details for each of those another time, but you have the tool introduced. And one final tool to cover, there's certainly others that we could, but the Business Model Canvas is one that I find really helpful. This was created by Alex Osterwalder. He's been a guest on the podcast before, and his company is Strategizer. And this canvas is essentially a one-page business plan, truly in one page. So the canvas does show nine areas, and we want these nine areas aligned to understand if we're on track to be successful with a new innovation project or not, or a new innovation opportunity. I'm not going to go into detail of these. This may very well be a tool familiar to you. If not, we have some other podcast episodes on if you just do a search for the Business Model Canvas. But I start with customer segments, and that's who we're serving. And then we think about the customer relationships. What kind of relationship do we want with that customer? And you think about that on the plane of, is it high touch, like a professional sales group that is interacting with the customer, or more self-serve? Are our customers coming to websites and interacting with information on their own? And then the third area to consider are the channels. How do we make the customer aware that we understand their problem and we have a solution for them? And those things kind of come together then in the fourth box, which is the value proposition. That's a statement of who we're serving, how we serve them, and what are we doing to solve their problem. And then we think about how do we deliver on that value proposition. These are the activities that we do to get that work done. And let's start first in the box called key partners. These are the other companies, the partners that we need to make it possible for us to deliver on the value proposition. Some partners might bring us customers, give us access to a market. Some might provide a technology that differentiates us, that creates new capabilities that we don't have on our own. Some might provide a speed to market to enable us to get our solution to people more quickly. And then what are the key activities that we must do to deliver on that value proposition? And then the key resources that are required to make those key activities possible. So already in this business model canvas, we've talked about the customer dimension, and then how do we deliver on the value proposition we're providing for the customer. There's only two boxes left in the canvas, and they show up visibly at the very bottom of the canvas, and that's our cost structure. What are our costs involved in accomplishing those activities to deliver on the value proposition, and what are the revenue streams that we receive from the customer, or in some instances from another funding source, to make that possible to deliver that value proposition. Very useful tool, understanding the business model canvas. And while the business model canvas has those nine boxes that we want to align, we can make it a little bit simpler to think about them being categorized into three areas. And first, there's the customer focus. We started with describing who the customer is, leading to the value proposition for them. And we think about this as the kind of the front stage work of what we're doing, the customer part of the work. And then the business side of that is how do we deliver on the value proposition? You think of this as the backstage, or I might call it the feasibility. Is it feasible for us to create that solution and what's involved in that? And then finally, the profit part of that, our costs versus the revenue, the financial aspects. This is the viability. If we pursue this project, is it going to be viable for us? This is kind of the sanity check. Does it make sense for us to do from a profit perspective or a funding revenue perspective? And with a better understanding of business strategy now under our belts, so to speak, let's move into innovation strategy from business strategy. And Bob Cooper and Roger Ejic, they shared a quote about this. They said, an innovation strategy is an essential tool for the product development and continued growth in difficult times. I would say an innovation strategy is an essential tool for product development and continued growth in all times, right? This is the revenue engine for organizations. This is how organizations indeed grow, by creating new products. And so innovation strategy is an essential tool for product development and continued growth in all times. And innovation is an organization, it's not a grab bag of all the ideas, right? We're creative people, especially those that are close to customers. We have ideas all the time, but it really needs to be an integrated approach that's coordinated across the organization and connected back clearly with the business strategy. So what makes a good innovation strategy? Different ways we can think about this, but here's some that should stand out to us. It should be tailored to the specific organization. There is no standard recipe book that defines innovation strategy for all organizations. I suppose if there was, there wouldn't be any differentiation, but it needs to be tailored to the organization. And above all, the innovation strategy must provide a sound basis for providing that alignment across the organization, for establishing priorities, because we can do lots of things. We want to do the most important ones for the organization, and for evaluating trade-offs. There's always trade-off decisions to be made about what are the most important ways to use our resources. The overall innovation strategy impacts a number of specific processes and business operations, and many of them are covered in other knowledge areas, but let's make a few connections now. first many components of innovation strategy, including technology, the technology strategy, the marketing strategy, the platform strategy, the use of open innovation if we're doing that, our intellectual property strategy, all those things need to align as part of an innovation strategy. And in the portfolio management knowledge area, we'll discuss the processes for project selection, again, directed by innovation strategy priorities. In the process knowledge area, we'll present a range of different processes which are appropriate to different innovation strategies, not a one-size-fits-all process, but tailoring that. And then in the culture and teams area, we'll discuss different structures, again, which are appropriate for the innovation strategy and what the teams need to accomplish. And in the product innovation management area, we discuss the stages of the product lifecycle and their strategic importance in defining innovation priorities. Now, there are certainly many frameworks for creating an innovation strategy. Michael Porter's work has been very useful on this and helpful along with many others. And we do cover the details in the strategy knowledge area for product mastery. I'm just not going to get to them in this episode today. Now, but strategy, it is only one of those seven knowledge areas for product mastery. And together, all seven areas help product professionals reach the next step of their professional journey. They're really important to us. And no doubt you already know some of these pieces, but understanding all seven areas and their interdependencies, that will fill in some holes from your experience and really equip you to be more effective managing and leading product work. And I provide a training program to learn all seven knowledge areas. It prepares you for greater success while also equipping you to earn the new product development professional certification from PDMA. PDMA has lots of credibility. This is a meaningful certification. What you learn is the most important information because it helps you to be more effective. And you might be asking, well, why should I start working on the next step of my career now, right? Well, you know the old saying, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now, today. After product professionals use my training, many share how they wish they knew what they learned from the training earlier in their careers. They could have avoided mistakes, improved their teams, created better products for the customers, and helped their organizations grow. Don't wait. Plant the tree today and prepare for the next step in your career by learning the seven knowledge areas for product mastery. Many companies already reimburse for the cost of this training, but if yours doesn't, I have a 30% discount for you. And even if your company will pay for the training, all listeners to this podcast can use the 30% discount. When buying the training, go to productmasterynow.com/RPM and use the discount code PODCAST. That's one word, all lowercase, PODCAST, podcast. So let's return to this question that I often hear from my university graduate students, which is some form of, I have this great idea, but I can't get support for it in my organization. Well, how do you get leaders to listen to and even promote your ideas? I'm not pretending that there's a single solution to this, and the other elements of the product mastery knowledge areas will help. But the one sure way to give your idea a chance is to align it to those business strategies, to the business strategy and specifically the strategic objectives of the organization. And I know this is probably obvious at this point, but in case we missed it, your idea for a product, for a customer, for a market segment to explore, those things that we come up with as product managers create new value, they need to support an organizational strategic objective. That's how you get attention. And common strategic objectives are characterized as financial, growth, learning, business processes, or customer. For example, a financial objective would be to increase revenue 10% in the next year, or to reduce production costs 20% in 18 months. We want it to be something that's stated that we can measure if we hit that objective or not. A growth objective could be to expand into an adjacent market by next year. As a product manager, you need to reframe the business objective into customer terms. For example, with a business objective of increasing revenue 8%, the customer-centric version could be, what problem worth solving or unmet job exists in the market with enough opportunity to increase revenue by 8%, right? So as product people, we like to think in terms of the customer, and that helps us to take action on the business objective by rephrasing it as a more customer-centric objective. So another example, we need parity with our competitor and must add feature X, right? That might come from senior leaders, that we need this new feature because our competitor has it. Well, our customer objective, that we could rephrase, is to simply ask, how much additional value does feature X bring our current or future customers versus something else we could do? Pretty good product management question. How about a business objective that might be stated in some form of, we need to adopt this new Z technology, whatever the technology is, to create a competitive advantage? Well, we could reframe that as a customer objective to say, well, what customer problem would better be served with this new technology or by, you know, getting on this trend, and by how much? Well, let's try to measure that. Remember, to give your ideas traction with decision makers in your organization, clearly describe the idea in a way that is aligned to your business objective, right? Describe the idea so it supports the business objective and that is clear to those who you are trying to influence. Okay, in this episode on strategy, the strategy area for product mastery, we explored a number of topics today. That was, what is strategy? Steps for creating a business strategy, what you need to know before developing a business strategy, an introduction to innovation strategy, and how to get support for your ideas, which is to align your ideas to specific business objectives. And I've covered about a fifth of everything that is actually covered in the strategy knowledge area. Other topics addressed in the knowledge area include some additional tools for developing strategy, reviewing the innovation strategy frameworks, other specific strategies that support innovation, looking at open innovation as an example of innovation strategy, and also exploring sustainable innovation. As a reminder, strategy is only one of the seven knowledge areas for product mastery. Together, all seven areas help product professionals reach the next step of their professional journey, making you more effective managing and leading product work. And my training program teaches you all seven knowledge areas. It prepares you for greater success while also equipping you to earn the new product development professional, the MPDP certification from PDMA. And as I said, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. Don't delay your professional journey. Plant the tree today and prepare for the next step in your career by learning the seven knowledge areas for product mastery. All listeners of this podcast can use the code PODCAST to get the training at a 30% discount. Simply go to productmasterynow.com/RPM. You can go there now and buy the Rapid Product Mastery Training. Use code PODCAST for that 30% discount. Thank you so much for joining me on this strategy episode. As always, keep innovating.
Thank you for listening to Product Mastery Now, where product leaders and managers gain product mastery through practical knowledge, influence, and confidence. By listening, you are becoming a product master, creating products customers love. Find additional resources at productmasterynow.com. Keep innovating.